Been studying fruit bearing, and we, you can open your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And or is that another place here? Hang on, I might be in the wrong scripture. I got my other Bible here, my torn one. It's not my good one. It's on the right hand page, left hand column, not the left page, right hand column. But I'm going to go review just a little bit here, and that God would help us. And in bearing fruit, and we've seen in 1 John chapter 2, it says, hereby we do know him. And these words, if, of course, jumped out at me, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, God calls you a liar. I didn't, he did. And he says, you're a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, and that word keep means to hold fast. He's a keeper. He's preserve. He's watching the word. He's perfecting it. Hereby we do know him if we keep his commandment. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And the love of God, what is one of the number one fruit of the Spirit that's manifest, and I heard it all this week again, and as God just kept coming back, the love of God, God working through us, God helping us and working through us in a great mighty way. I'm sorry, it's Romans chapter 7. Let me turn again. I was reading everywhere this morning, but this word perfected means to complete, to accomplish, and I've always wondered, you know, some folks said, why in the world did the disciples live like they did? How'd they do that? What makes them different than us? What makes them so different than us? Was they Superman? It's just fishermen. But they was willing. There's no difference. They allowed this love of God to be perfected through them. They was willing to keep his word. And these words, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now I'm reading through 1 John here, chapter 2, and I'm just reviewing, going up here, so just, I'll get to Romans 7 here in a minute. But, in these words here, this perfect is to complete, to accomplish. That's what God wants out of every one of his youngins. He's trying to complete himself in you. To where, it's no longer Brother Hall here, he's wanting to perfect Christ through me. Them times when you're around someone, And something nudges you inside and you see someone and they have a need. And they need Jesus and you just can't help yourself but want to help them. Or say something, maybe subtle, maybe just something, just enough to put their awareness that there's a God who cares for them. And that means, and that's that spot where we're wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You'd be sitting there mustering up something to think. And you're saying, oh God, help me here. And you're praying to yourself, God, help me. What do I say? What do I say? And you're trying, you know, and then God gives you that courage. And you said, do you ever think about this? Well, the Word of God says, and you take yourself out of the equation and you point to God. In His Word. You can't never go wrong by putting God's Word first. And take you out of the equation and you're what you think, but God says this. Leave you out of the equation. So they ain't wrestling with your opinion, Pastor. They're wrestling with God's. And it's not His opinion. It's His Word. So, And God's desire is to walk even as He walked. And we kind of went over some of these things. How did Jesus walk? He took the time to see the multitudes. He saw and He was moved with compassion. Something welded up in Him. Now, it's in Christ, His Spirit and the Holy Spirit, what we have as believers, is there any difference? Give me an answer. Is there any difference? Everybody's looking towards you. Everybody's afraid to say anything. What's wrong with them? They're scared to death. Is there any difference in the Holy Ghost of God in Christ? No. One's manifested in flesh, sits at the right hand of the Father right now. One's manifested in spirit. And His work, He said, I shall send you another comforter. In other words, He was leaving them, but I'm sending you another to take my place. And He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Wherever you're at, even to the ends of the world, He'll be with us. Even unto death, He's right there. The Holy Ghost of God. So we have this means. We have this Holy Ghost. We have Him. And His personality is revealed in holiness. He desires holiness in our lives. So right as soon as we begin to covet all the things of the flesh, what's that do to Him? Yeah. It's like if you take something pure, a pure glass of water, it's perfectly sparkly clear, you could look through it and I could see everybody through it, and just take one little speck of ink. And if you watch it and give it time, it muddies the whole thing where it's blurry, cloudy, just one little speck. How much sin does it take to grieve the Holy Ghost? Just the thought. Just thinking it, you have grieved Him. So as God's trying to perfect holiness through us, now this is what I want to get into right here. And as I read this morning, man, it just kind of just jumped off the page and it got me right back to the fruit of God manifesting itself out of our lives. And let's look here and daggone it, all right. Let's look at chapter 6. We've got to read into it and kind of get the feel of where this is going, where Paul's writing these Romans here and read together here. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I hear people say, well, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. They say it though. I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want. I'm a grace man. We've heard that one. Preachers, I'm a grace man. I believe in grace. I do too. I believe in grace. But there's a time and a place where God says, all right, now it's time for something else. My grace has run out. It's time I got to do something different, get your attention. So it says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, who's He talking to? Believers. How shall we, He's including Himself. Did you catch that? Paul's putting Him in the equation. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Was that talking about the pool? Was that talking about getting baptized here? What's this talking about? Being baptized in the body of believers by your faith. The day you repented of your sins, turned to Christ. I like what Vernon McGee said. You can't turn to Christ without turning from something. That's repentance. You just turned your back on what you was and turned to Christ. So, He says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What's this, what we've seen in 1 John, that perfecting, that He's wanting to complete Himself in us. That with your youngins, your grandkids, your neighbors, your cousins, your co-workers, when you're around them, He's wanting you to move and look at them in a way that He would look at them. And He took the time to see their need, and it moved Him. Nothing else mattered. Compassion took over, and it said His heart, His bowels yearned. He was moved inside Him. It bothered Him. It bothered Him not to say something. It bothered Him not to be, to not do nothing. It bothered Him that they had a need, and He was moved towards them. And wanted to see their need met. Let's read on. So therefore we are buried with Him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of His... Notice the word if. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now this is going ahead, but I believe part of this is this newness of life is right now. I am not the person I was before November 15th, 1988. Something took over. Somebody moved in and started camping out and made Himself known. His name's Jesus. He moved in and started cleaning house. Started shoveling it out. Getting me out of the way. And he's still working on me. Right. He's still working. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, in other words, knowing that our old man is crucified with Him. As Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not that I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you want to learn how to, that's Galatians 2:20. That's a good way to do it. Because I can remember it in a song better than I can just sit there and quote it out. But He's crucified. He died as Christ died and was buried and rose. When I got saved, that's what He desires of me. And newness of life, the new Roger, the one that don't live no more. The one He's put away. In His eyes, He don't exist. But the devil wants to say, remember what you used to do. Remember places you used to go. Remember how you used to talk. Remember how you used to think. Remember how you used to desire. Oh, devil's king. And he's a fisherman too. He's looking for a bite. And he gets you to bite. Maybe say, remember how I used to get angry? Remember you say I used to throw a fit? Get you to hook and dwell. Or remember when this person did this to you and it was a brother and sister in Christ? Always bringing up stuff in the past. So, and that's gone. We can't do nothing about it anyhow. So, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Tell me what that means to you. Anybody. Brother David, you got some thoughts. Give it to me. It might be destroy. What's destroy mean? So, what's that saying? Does God want David in the equation? He don't want. He wants the new David that He's making. Yeah. You hear that? That old you, brother, he don't want it no more. He don't want it around no more. So we see, knowing as that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Right. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. I think people's going to be in shock in heaven. They're so adapted here in this earth down here with everything we got, they're going to go up to heaven. They're going, what in the world's going on here? We should be preparing ourselves. Wouldn't you think make the journey a little bit easier? Say, oh, that's why people get so excited thinking about the things of heaven, because that part of me will be finally gone all together. No more wrestling with Roger, my worst enemy. I live in him every day. That sorry thing. He don't want to read. He don't want to pray. He don't want to do right. I'm a sorry outfit. You got one too? Oh man, God help us. Give him the bit. But that's just being honest. But thank God ain't what I used to be. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. Now, what I want to get to, let's look at 13 real quick. I'm going to move real quick here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Talking about sin. Talking about things we yielded to in the old nature as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Are you saved? If you're saved, then we ought to be alive from the dead. That newness that God's put in us, He's wanting to perfect Himself in us. And 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That means rule. That means it's got control of you. You willingly sin because you willingly surrender over to it. We have a choice in the matter. Whose side you on, Jesus or the devil? People ought to be here this morning.
That's right.
Amen. They ought to be here. And they're not. We need to pray for them. That love of God, that boy, we ought to reach to them, pray for them, because they need to be. In verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to, His servants ye are to whom ye obey. So who ye obeying? God or the devil? Now remember, the flesh is on the devil's side. Who you obeying? That shows whose side you're on. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, and to iniquity, even now yield your members servants to righteousness unto, here's that Baptist bad word, holiness. Holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now here it is. Here's what I want to get to. We've been talking about bearing fruit. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are ashamed? Remember? I remember. Ashamed of them. And if you're not, then I'd be checking up. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There is death of the spiritual things. And old flesh. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Oh boy, there's that bad word again. And the end, everlasting life. And we know that this verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Real quick now, let's move. I'm out of time. Let's look at verse 4 in chapter 7. Now remember, He says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. But when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in your members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's what we don't want. When we allow that flesh to rise up, it's fruit unto death. In other words, it's killing what God's trying to perfect in your life. As soon as we submit to it, and to what servants you are, to Him you obey. That's just as clear as gun barrel, straight as you can get. Are you submissive to God's Word? Are you submissive to the Spirit of God? Are you allowing God to perfect Himself in you? Or are you resisting Him? And we ought to be the most, we're living in a times now in this world outside need to see Jesus so bad, and we are it. We're it. The only way they see Jesus is in you and me. That's it. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His heart, we're His mouth. And how we speak, are we bringing shame and dishonor unto death, or bring fruits unto holiness unto life? God help us, because that's what we need. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love You. Thank You for Your Word, dear God. Thank You for His time. Dear God, let Your Word find root in our hearts. That we bring fruits unto holiness, dear God. That would glorify You, dear God. That we be moved with compassion on this world and see their need of Jesus, Lord. And we need to get busy, Lord. Time's running out and it's getting close. And Lord, we need to be serious about the race to be run. Help us, dear God. And bless the service. Bless Your preacher, dear God. Do something unusual man can't take credit for. Breathe upon us this morning, dear God. Father, may every heart and life be obedient to You this morning. Father, won't be lost, save them. Don't let them leave here lost. Reveal Yourself, they see their need of You. And one walking afar off, they be brought nigh, dear God. And dear God, one cold or indifferent, dear God, they be warmed up and that stony heart be broken, dear God, and see You. Oh, Lord Jesus, please have Your will and way. Sweet Holy Ghost of God, have Your will and way in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.